Peter. A lot of you know Peter, right? You know that name. He's one of the most famous, you know, well-known Bible people. You know, we talk about Bible. A real person, right? Peter, the rock, right? Peter, the rock. Now, he may not have had the physical strength that we think of former wrestler and TV star Dwayne Johnson, the rock, right? But you know what? Peter, his spiritual strength and perseverance is what Jesus knew that he could have when he named him the rock. In the last days of Peter's life, historians tell us that Peter faced tremendous hardship as a result of following Jesus. He was maliciously condemned. He was cast into a horrible dungeon in Rome. It was called Mamertine. It was like one of the worst places that anyone could possibly go. And he was in there chained and tortured for some 9 months. How he survived that, many people don't know. Most people actually died there in the dungeon. But he continued to have this amazing spirit even to the end. He continued with a flame, with fervor for the glory of God to proclaim Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, while he was in that prison, that dungeon, it's said that he led over 47 captives, yeah. The people that were taking care of him, the different guards and the different actually people who tortured him, he led 47 of them to Christ, including Procesus and Martinaeus, to name just two. But even while he was going through all of that, he was the rock. Peter, as some of you know about his history, he met his death there in Rome. They would crucify him. But you know what he said? I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. And so he asked to be crucified upside down, which they actually did. Peter, the rock. We're going to be looking at his life this morning. But what made Peter the man that he became? I mean, he became an extraordinary man who did extraordinary things, and we're going to look at some of those things. But you know, he was just an average person, as we're kind of sort of an ordinary person like you and I. You think, what, Peter? No way. He's like the rock, right? I mean, he's like the most spiritual person we look at in the Bible, along him and Paul. And yet, when you look at his life, he was an ordinary man. You know what? He just grew up on a small little village on a lake. He was a fisherman. Everyone was a fisherman, pretty much, when they lived there on the lake. He grew up there in Bethsaida and later moved to Capernaum. He was married. Matter of fact, he took his wife a number of times on different mission trips, in a sense, with him. Peter had a brother, Andrew. We're going to actually look at Andrew here in a couple weeks. But Andrew was the first to introduce Peter to Jesus. And it's interesting. We see that Peter and Andrew were some of the very first disciples who made a decision to follow Jesus. But actually, when we meet this man we know as Peter, that wasn't his name, right? Did you know that? His name was Simon. But soon that was to change. As a matter of fact, look with me, if you have Bibles, to chapter 1, verse 40 to 42. John chapter 1, verse 40 to 42. And it says this: Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John the Baptist had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And then he brought Simon to Jesus, who what? Looked at him and said, "Yeah, you're Simon, son of John. You know what? You're going to be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter, to which we know means rock. Peter was to become the leader, the foundation, the rock of those Jesus was going to call to follow him. Those we call his disciples, right? The 12 disciples. Peter was the leader, really, obviously under Jesus, of them. And then after Christ ascended, we see that Peter was basically the leader at the beginning of the church, a church that would literally spread across the known world. But when Jesus called Peter, we see in Matthew, he says to Peter, "Come follow me. Hey, fisherman, come follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." And at once they left their nets and followed him. Peter would follow Jesus, and he would become the rock that Jesus envisioned him to be. This morning, we're going to be looking at Peter's life, but also we're going to be looking at kind of the making of a leader in just a few moments. But before we do that, I want to give a very, it's really very brief and certainly not comprehensive overview of Peter's life. And some of this I wanted to give because it's extra biblical. In other words, it's not in the Bible, but we see a number of things through history, historical books, through church writings of Peter's life, especially toward the end and the things that he did, of Christ's work in and through Peter's life. We see in the Bible that after Jesus' ascension came Pentecost, right? Where the Holy Spirit came. And who was the very first one to stand up and to proclaim? Peter stood up amongst this large crowd, and he proclaimed that Jesus had died and that he had risen from the dead, that he was indeed the Messiah. And he stood there in boldness and proclaimed Jesus. Peter became the leader of the very early church. We see a number of different times. For instance, you may know the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Remember those? A married couple. And what they do? They lied to God. They kept back money that they said that they were going to give. And what did Peter? Peter was the leader, and he confronted them. We see that Peter also spoke against Simon the magician. Remember, Simon wanted the Holy Spirit, and he was kind of doing this magic. And Peter said, no, this is not about your power or anybody's power. And he confronted them. Peter was also among the apostolic council. He was one of those who officially included the Gentiles, right? Those who weren't born Jewish. They say, you know what? Gentiles can be a part of God's kingdom. They can be a part of the church. And Peter put a stamp of approval, said, yes, this is right. This is God's will. Peter became the rock that Jesus had discipled him to be. Peter later became the bishop of Antioch, the Antioch church in 33 to 40 AD. He also went to Corinth. And we see there also in actually in 1 Corinthians 9:5, when Paul wrote this, he said that Peter took his wife with him. There's a number of church traditions and writings that say he went all the way to Britain. Kind of what we know, right, as Britain. He went there to start churches and to spread the gospel. Now, there's historical evidence for this. This can't absolutely be provable. Some people say he did, some didn't, but it seems pretty likely that he went there. Eastern church tradition has Peter going to Babylon in 44 to 49 AD, ministering there for another number of years. Now, for those of you maybe who grew up Catholic or in the Catholic Church, they have a different view. And then when they saw Babylon, they thought that was Rome. And so they believe and they teach that he went to Rome and started the church in Rome. It's actually pretty unlikely that Peter did this. Paul is silent about it. When Paul wrote to the Roman church, he didn't mention Peter once, and we don't see it in the book of Acts, but that is some of the tradition that the Roman Catholic Church teaches. But we do know that Peter did eventually go to Rome. As a matter of fact, that's where he was martyred and buried. Interesting, after World War II, there were excavations in Rome, and it was officially announced by the Pope that the grave of Peter had been found. And now, literally thousands, if not sometimes millions of people go as they go to the Holy Land to visit his tomb under what's called St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. So we see some of the history, the overview of Peter's life. And, you know, there's so much more to it. But we see just in his short life, the things that he did, all desiring to do it for the glory of Christ. He did some extraordinary things for God because God is the one who made him into an extraordinary man. But as I mentioned, Peter is not his original name, right? Simon was his given name. That's the name that his parents gave him. And Simon is as common as Jim or John these days, okay? How many Johns do we have in here this morning? Okay, we got three. How many Jims? At least two, okay? And I know we have a few other Johns and maybe, you know, a few Mikes. You know, I mean, it was just common. He wasn't anybody special in that sense. And yet, we see that he was an ordinary fisherman, lived on a small town on the lake, and he was like many of us, enjoying life. He enjoyed his work. He was married to a wonderful wife, and he was a God-fearing Jew, following God through what he knew of the Old Testament, but he was also expectant and looking for the Messiah. He was looking and expectant for this Messiah, this Christ. And we see this excitement when his brother Andrew comes to him. And Simon Peter was like so many Jews. He was looking for that. And he was open to God's voice in his life. It's interesting, when Andrew comes to him and he shares this, his desire was to go and check it out, to see who this Jesus was. But as we've come to know Simon Peter, as he's often called, he's like many of us as Christians. Matter of fact, he's like many of the people we're going to be looking at in this series we saw last week with Sarah. We saw with Sarah, we see with Peter, that he has many faults and yet also much faith. Can you put yourself in that category probably? Where you kind of look at yourself, you got quite a few faults and yet some faith as well. And yet Jesus was calling him to become a leader. And so today we want to look at the making of a leader through the life of Peter. You know, a question people often ask, where do leaders come from, right? Are you born a leader? Are you made a leader? Some different debate on that, probably a little bit of both maybe. But there was actually a group of tourists who were visiting this beautiful village, and as they were going through it, they walked by an old man. He was sitting there on the fence, and they found out he was somebody who had been in this village for a long time. And so one of the tourists, kind of patronizing way, he asked, well, were any great leaders born here? To which the man said, no, just babies. Right? We're all just born babies. But I believe that God gives us special gifts, talents, leadership skills, to which ultimately he gives us the opportunity, the decision to decide what we're going to do with those. See, I believe as Christians, God calls every single one of us to be leaders. Now, there's different levels of leaders. Doesn't mean everybody's going to be a pastor or an elder, you know, or a missionary or a teacher. Okay, that's not the only way of being a leader, as we were going to clearly see. For those who've read about Peter, though, you know his nature, right? One of the things about his nature, he's pretty brash. He's one of those people who can make promises and just as quickly break them, right? He's one who is the first to jump in, but also sometimes the first to jump out. One person said, Peter, when he thinks of Peter, he thinks of someone who has a foot-shaped mouth. And if you have that, you know, where you kind of stick your foot in your mouth often. He often spoke before he thought. Some of us do that as well. He had courage, but he also had cowardice at times. He had strengths and weaknesses, just like you and me. But we see here, and we're going to look, that he had some raw material. See, I believe that God gives in each one of us some things, some raw material that God wants each of us to take up to be a leader for him. He was Simon, right, who became Peter, the rock. It's interesting, whenever he reverted back to his kind of his selfish and sinful life, Jesus often, when he confronted him, called him Simon. Simon, don't go back to where you used to be, right? But it's interesting also, he usually called him Peter to commend him for the way that he was acting when he did something right, when he was following Jesus in the way that Jesus wanted him to. He would call him Peter, remind him of who he is called to be. That was kind of his nickname that Jesus gave him, the Rock. Tommy Lasorda, some of you maybe heard of Tommy Lasorda. He was a longtime manager for the Los Angeles Dodgers. He tells the story of a young, skinny baseball pitcher that came up in the minor leagues. This youngster was somewhat timid, although he had an extraordinarily powerful and accurate arm. But Lasorda was convinced, actually this young guy, he was pretty young, that he could be one of the greatest pitchers of all time. But he said something, he said, you know what? This young man needed to be more fierce, needed to be more competitive. And so Lasorda decided, you know, he's going to try to help him out. And so he decided he's going to give him a nickname. And he gave him the nickname Bulldog. Even though this went against his natural personality, he said, you know what? You're a bulldog. And over the years, that's exactly what Oral Hershiser became. If you know baseball at all, you should know that name because he became one of the greatest pitchers of all time. See, this nickname was a perpetual reminder of who he ought to be and really that he longed to be, and it shaped who he became as a baseball pitcher. He became fierce and competitive. He became one of the best pitchers ever. Jesus gave Simon a new name. rock. I want you to be a rock. He was to be reminded of who Jesus believed that he could be. And you know, it's the same for us. Do you know that? Now, you may not have received a new name. Matter of fact, in some countries, when you become a Christian, you actually get a new name. But when you become a follower of Christ, you do receive a new name. What do we call ourselves? Christians. You know what a Christian means? A couple different definitions. One is a follower of Christ, or it literally means little Christs. Okay? You are to be a little Christ. In other words, you're supposed to look like Jesus, act like Jesus. That's your new name. That's your new nickname, in a sense, if you want to say it that way. You see, I believe with all my heart that we are all called to be leaders of some kind. As Christians, we are called to help lead others closer to the Lord. If we've experienced that, we're called to help others know Jesus. It starts with our family, right? If we're married, it starts with our spouse, with our kids. If you're living at home, maybe it starts with your siblings or with your parents. But we're to lead those around us, show them an example of what Christ is in our life. And it goes beyond that to where you go to school or work or in your community. We're called to help lead others, right, closer to Jesus. So what are some of the raw material we need to become leaders? We can learn from Peter and certainly many others. We're going to look at a couple other examples just in recent history. But the first thing is actually pretty simple. To be a leader, the raw material is you got to have initiative. You have to have initiative. You need to develop and ask God to give within you a drive, an ambition, an energy to help lead others to know God. Now again, doesn't mean you have to know everything. Doesn't mean you have to go to Bible college. It means you need to take initiative to say, I desire to help others know God, to help them grow closer to Him. You have to be willing to step out, right? Think about Peter's life. He often spoke before he thought. That was sometimes a strength and sometimes a weakness, wasn't it? See, God can't use someone who's never willing to take initiative. If we're always going to be hesitant, we're always going to step back, we're always going to wait for someone else to do it, God can't use us. But He can use somebody who simply takes the initiative, takes the step, say, I'm willing to step out. Think about Peter, right? How many times did he step out in so many different... Think about when he jumped out of the boat. You all know that. Who was the only disciple to walk on water? Peter. Think about this. When Jesus was about to be arrested, and this crowd came up, and they were about ready to arrest him. Remember what Peter did? Took out a sword. What did he do? He ended up cutting off the ear of the high priest's servant. Now, he wasn't going for the ear, by the way. Okay? It wasn't looking just to the ear. It's not that good of a name, you know. But he was willing to step out. He said, I'm going to defend Jesus if no one else does. Even when he didn't always make the right decisions, he was willing to take that initiative. He was the first to stand up after Pentecost and share the truth of Jesus' resurrection. Rosa Parks. You all familiar with Rosa Parks, the young lady, African-American who sat on the bus where she wasn't supposed to? She shares this in her book, Quiet Strength. She says, I've learned over the years that knowing what must be done does away with fear. When I sat down on that bus that day, I had no idea history was being made. I was only thinking of getting home. But I had made up my mind. After so many years of being a victim of the mistreatment that my people suffered, not giving up my seat, and whatever I had to face afterwards, was what I was going to do. I did not feel any fear sitting there. Rather, I felt the strength of the Lord to endure whatever I had to face. It was time for someone to stand up. Or in my case, you said, sit down. See, God can work with someone who's willing to take initiative, who's willing to step up, who's willing to say, God, I don't know it all, but I'm going to be a little Christ. I'm going to show Jesus to others. Doesn't mean you have to be super outgoing. Doesn't mean you change your personality. Doesn't mean you always go first, okay? But it means you're willing to take that initiative. You're ready. If you see a need, you're ready to meet it. You're ready to serve. You're ready to take an opportunity to share about the Lord. Which brings us kind of to a second thing of the making of a leader. And really, they're really pretty close. But it's that as simply of getting involved. Involvement, right? You have to be willing to get in the middle of the action. Peter was willing to get involved, wasn't he? We see when Jesus called him. Jesus, I think, probably called a number of people. And what was Peter's first response? It's interesting. One of his first responses after he'd met him, and Jesus said, "Come follow me," says he left his nets and he went and followed Jesus. He took the initiative to go get involved. He left his nets, willing to learn to be a fisher of men. He said, "I know fishing. I'm not sure about this fisher of men thing, but you know what? I think I will let you try to teach me." We see throughout the book of Acts how he was involved in helping others in so many different ways. If you want, take a moment. Maybe you're in John. Turn over the next book, Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. We see this is after Pentecost. Church is just literally in infancy. And it says in chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, "One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. It was 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate, this gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, 'Look at us.' And so the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said, 'You know what? Silver or gold, I don't have. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' And then taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet became strong." His feet and ankles became strong. "He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts." It says, "walking and jumping and praising God." Peter saw a person here who was in need. And this guy, obviously he just needed some money, you know. Peter said, "I have something more." God had blessed him with the gift, the ability at different times to actually even bring healing through faith. Peter got involved. He could have just ignored this man, kept walking. But as a result, interesting, later in Acts 3, if you look at that, as they went back into the temple courts, and this guy is making all kinds of commotion because of what God did to him, Peter had an opportunity to share with a big group about Jesus. Because of the small thing, I mean, it's a big thing in that man's life, but just one person's life, because of one person, he was able to share with many more. Some of you know Peter's life when he was with Jesus, kind of his 3 years with Jesus, and we look at, he made a lot of mistakes, didn't he? He stuck his foot in his mouth many times, and it's pretty easy for us maybe even to criticize Peter for his lack of faith, but he had the raw material to get out and to do something. He took initiative. He got involved, as well as many of the other disciples, and that's what made them different from many others that Jesus called. But here's a question. What about you? What about me? You know, actually, I think this is one of the strengths of our church. I really do. I think this is one of the strengths of our church. Many of you have taken initiative. Many of you get involved. I mean, just think about this past month. How many of you, I look around, probably almost all of you maybe, have got involved in some way, whether it was decorating this, changing this building to make it look like a jungle, or decorating the float, to helping out, hand out Otter Pops and popsicles to people in our community, to putting your kids on the float and showing them an example of people that are going to stand up and love Jesus, to over 40 adults and youth that were here helping out our kids, kids from our community, to see the love of Jesus. And that's just this past month. Yes, Debbie was our leader, right? Debbie was the leader of VBS, but it took so many more. Every single person that was involved, whether it was setting up or taking down or teaching kids, was a leader. You were using the gifts and talents that God had given to you. So here's the challenge. Let's continue that. And if you weren't one of those people, or maybe you in some other way, then let's ask God, how, God, do you want me to be like Christ to those around me? Are you going to take the initiative? Are you going to get involved? Because that's what God wants to do. That's how he wants each of us to be leaders. But we also see the making of a leader comes through life experiences. Every single one of you have different life experiences, right? Jesus put Peter in different places to grow, to learn. He was with him for 3 years through some ups and downs. See, that's something we need to allow God to do as well. We need to be willing to spend and walk with Jesus and allow him to shape our lives. Don't let the fear of defeat or the fear of, you know, making a mistake keep you from growing. Many of us, we don't want to try something new, or we don't want to do something because, well, I've never done that before. What if I fail? What if you fail? Peter failed a lot. And look what God did with him. I fail all the time. But that's part of, as we talked about earlier, the scars, in a sense, that God can use in our lives. See, part of being a leader, part of developing that leadership is learning to discern God's voice in your life, isn't it? Learning to hear and obey. A perfect example of that in Peter's life is in Matthew 16. So take a moment if you want. Turn back a few chapters, a few books to Matthew 16, 15 to 23. We're going to see here the highs and the lows of Peter, of listening to God and maybe not hearing God. Matthew 16, verse 15 to 23. Jesus asked this question, "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" He's asking his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, of course, was the one to speak up. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter." He reminds him who he is. "You are Peter. On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he warned his disciples, said, "Don't go and tell everybody that I'm the Christ. That's not time. I don't want them all to know right now." But it says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and that he must suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. But Peter, what does he do? Peter said, "Jesus, come over here. We got to talk." And he took him aside. And Peter rebukes Jesus. Peter rebukes Jesus, okay? And he says, "Never, Lord. This shall never happen to you. I'm not going to let it happen. You're not going to die. You're the Messiah. You're going to be a big king." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Out of my sight, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Let's go back to the beginning. Jesus says, "Who do you say I am?" And we see Peter's confession. He says, "You are the Christ. You're the Messiah." He'd been listening to God's voice. He'd been with Jesus. He'd been seeing what Jesus had been teaching. He'd been watching what Jesus had been doing. And he recognized, yes, this is the Messiah. You are the Christ. Peter learned he could hear from God. And Jesus affirmed that, said, "Yes. What you've just told me, it isn't just revealed by your brilliant mind. It was revealed to you by God, by my Father, by the Holy Spirit." And Peter learned that he could hear God and the Lord could use him in great ways. Matter of fact, Jesus says this truth you just acknowledged, that I'm the Christ, that's the keys. That's the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You're going to go and proclaim that truth of what you just said, and you're going to build the kingdom of God. Salvation will go to many because of you, Peter, because of that truth that was revealed to you. But then we see not too much later. I don't know, was it hours, days, weeks? It doesn't say, it just says later we see that Jesus is confronted by Peter, right? And he says, "You can't go to the cross, or you can't die." And Jesus rebukes Peter. And he says, "You got off track. Now you're just simply thinking from a human perspective. Did you seek God about this? Have you been listening to me? Have you been listening to what I say?" And that's what God asks us. Have you been listening? Have you been hearing what I've been telling you in your life? Peter learned that he is vulnerable, just like we are, to Satan, to not following God's will. Wow. You know what? I read that and I see myself. Honestly, maybe you do too. I see, you know, God, you know, I do something, and maybe I think I preach a great sermon or something, or I say, learn something from God, and God uses me, and I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. And he's going, good job, Jim. And then the next day, he's rebuking me for something I said to my family, or my attitude, or an action that I did that wasn't honoring to him. One day I hear God's voice so clearly, and the next day I try to do stuff on my own. I think this is the way that is best. Right? Again, we see with Peter, he does this when he promised, right? He said, I'm never going to deny you. Jesus said, someone here is going to deny me. He said, you're going to deny me. And Peter says, never. And what happened? Of course, we know he denied Jesus 3 times, didn't he? And then later, Jesus comes to him after resurrection. He comes and 3 times he asks Peter, do you love me? 3 times. And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I think he's probably almost in tears because he realizes what's going on. And what does Jesus say? He says, okay, Peter, rock, feed my sheep. Go and be the leader I want you to be in my church. You know, the more we listen and hear and follow God's voice and lead, the more we're able to discern it. And I think that's where walking with Jesus is so important. And obviously, our life experiences, as you go through them, the ups and downs, as you listen to God during those times, God will lead you. God will show you where he wants you to go and how he wants you to be. Peter learned through his experience. He learned like we do, despite his sinful tendencies, right? Despite his spiritual weaknesses that time, that God still wanted to use him. So if you think that you are spiritually weak or that you have sinful tendencies, well, join Peter and get ready for God to use you, right? He learned some lessons from his failures and his successes, most importantly from his walk with Jesus. So that's the question, are you walking with Jesus? See, God wants to do great things in our lives as well. But one of the most important things that God can do in making us a leader is developing into us quality characters. Okay? Characteristics in our lives that are more like Jesus, right? Character qualities. Character, you see, matters to God. It's not so much about your gifts and talents. God wants to shape your character. I read a quote this week. It says, character produces respect. Respect produces trust, and trust motivates followers. You're not going to follow someone that you don't trust, someone that you don't see as someone worthy of following, right? And the same with people for you. Spiritual leadership helps people to know and see that you are like Jesus. That's what spiritual leadership is. It's not about a position. There's a lot of different ones. We're going to just look very briefly at 3. The first one's humility. Humility. It's the opposite of pride, right? Now, the world would say, you know, you need to know everything and make sure everybody knows that you know everything so they'll follow you. Well, that's not Jesus' idea of leadership. Peter learned the importance of humility. He learned it in some hard ways, didn't he? As we saw earlier through some of his life experiences. Peter was confident, and that's a good quality to have, confidence, but always confidence with humility. Matter of fact, he understood this. He wrote it in 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. Peter wrote this to the church. He says, in the same way, you who are younger, he's especially talking to younger people. He says, you who are younger, submit yourselves to those who are older, to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Examine your heart even now. Is that who you are? When people think of you, do they think of somebody who shows humility? Is that your heart attitude toward those in your home? Toward those you go to school with? Toward those that you work with? Toward those in your community and your church? Another important quality for a leader is loving. Loving. Sounds like pretty obvious, right? But love is shown in many ways, and I believe one of the greatest ways it's shown is through serving. You know, many leaders, many of us, we're often task-oriented, right? Getting things done. As leaders, we got to get things done more than people-oriented. But we need to have that balance. You see, Jesus says, you know what's most important? You know how what a leader looks like? Is someone who serves someone who serves. Jesus was sitting down with the 12 in Mark chapter 9, verse 35. He said to the 12, anyone who wants to be first must be what? You guys know? Last. And servant of all. You may remember Jesus was washing his disciples' feet as a servant. And he came to Peter. And what did Peter say? You're not going to wash my feet. You're the Lord. There's no way. And Jesus says, unless I wash your feet, you have no part of me. Unless you learn humility and serving through love, you can't be a part of me. And Jesus said this after he was done washing the feet. He said, a new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples. What? If you love. Okay, you should know that's a good one. If you love one another. How did Jesus show that he loved his disciples? By washing their feet, by serving them for the past 3 years. Did Peter learn this from Jesus? Did he actually learn it? Yeah. We see all over the book of Acts. We see, as I mentioned earlier, the history of Peter and a lot of things that he did. We see his life was a life of service, of love for Jesus. Matter of fact, he wrote this, and in one of his letters, 1 Peter 4:8, he says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Would people see you as someone who loves through serving? Do your brothers and sisters see you as someone who loves by serving them? Does your spouse? Again, what about at work? What about in our church? That's the making of a leader, someone who loves and does it by serving. The last characteristic is one that we all probably need a little more of, I know I do, and that is of courage. Peter had courage. He faced persecution, oppression, trouble, torture, and ultimately death. But he lived up to the name Jesus gave. He was a rock. He needed rock solid courage to follow Jesus. And he had courage to follow Jesus. Remember, right at the very beginning, I'll make you a fisher of men, come follow me. He had the courage to leave behind what he knew, what was like his life and everything he knew. He said, you know what? I'm going to leave that behind. I'm going to follow Jesus. Now, Jesus doesn't always call us to leave all that we know behind, but he says, you have to follow me. And we have to have the courage to do it. Do you have the courage to follow Jesus? You know? When you go back to school, when you go back to college, when you go back to work on Monday, when you go back to your family, maybe your family who doesn't know the Lord, do you have the courage to be that kind of person, to follow Jesus? We also see in Acts chapter 4 where Peter said, basically he had the courage to say, I'm not going to obey men because they said, you can't talk about Jesus. I must obey God. Are you willing to be courageous and trust and obey Jesus? If so, then you are in the making of a leader, if not already one. That's what leadership looks like in God's church. Simon became Peter, the rock. We see in him the making of a leader. He was ordinary, just like you, just like me. And yet God used this ordinary man to do extraordinary things. Why? Because he took initiative, right? He took initiative. He got involved. He began to follow Jesus. He took those first steps of leading. And he learned through life experiences as he walked with Jesus, as we walk with Jesus. And last of all, he allowed God to develop within him those character qualities that are just like Jesus. Qualities such as humility, such as love through serving, and even courage to take a stand when it's hard, like Rosa Parks did. Was Peter perfect? Not even close. Did he become the rock? Absolutely. Will you grow into the name that Jesus gave you? If you're a Christian, you say you're a follower of Christ, will you grow into that name more and more? To be a little Christ, to be more and more like Jesus? I hope so. I hope you will. I hope you'll take seriously God's calling on each one of us to become more of a leader that he wants us to be. In whatever areas, whatever giftings, whatever talents and places he puts you. We're all different. But God calls us to follow him.